Hear now a reading of the scripture from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, selected verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not extinguish the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The world became flesh, the Word became flesh, and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, who places the stars in the sky and leads us to find you wherever we are. God, you have led us to this place. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is Epiphany Sunday. It's one of my favorite church holidays, with Pentecost being a close second. They're two of my favorites for the same reason. And that reason is because both of these holidays, these celebrations, these revelations exist because God destroyed the barriers that kept out other people, that kept people from knowing God. God destroyed the barriers so that all people would know who God is as the creator, redeemer, and sustainer of the world. God made God's self visible and available to all people. Epiphany means a moment of revelation or insight. For us as Christians, Epiphany is the revelation of Christ to the world. And among the first to notice were the wise men who followed the star until they found Jesus. A life-altering journey, a journey following a star that led them to Jesus. But today, as the scripture indicates, we're really just going to talk about the light. Once upon a time, I sang in a choir every Sunday. And one year during our Christmas cantata included a song called My Guiding Star. Listen to the lyrics. Born of a Virgin Mary, conceived by the Father above, born in a lowly manger, was Jesus, the heavenly dove. Star shining o'er the manger led people to him from afar. They came to see Christ Jesus, for he was their guiding star. It's interesting to compare and contrast the details of the birth narratives between the Gospel of Matthew and Luke and realize that these are the only two Gospels that talk about Jesus' birth. Mark and John don't cover it. They didn't think it was important. But Matthew and Luke do, and more than 2,000 years later, so do we. What continues to be striking to me is that the God of the universe, who created all of life and everything on earth, wanted so desperately to make God's self known to us that God became human. Our creator, the Word made flesh, God was born not into a palace, but into a lowly manger. When major events happen in the world or in our community, we stop and stare for a moment, and then we generally continue on. The news cycle shifts, and we move on with life. For the people involved directly with major events like natural disasters or terror attacks, it feels to them like their world has stopped turning, but that everyone else's has continued on without skipping a beat. But when Jesus was born, The Gospels tell us that angels descended and a star appeared and people stopped what they were doing because they knew something had happened in the world. Something had changed. The song continues, "Jesus is now my true guiding star, ever guiding me from afar. In him I'm trusting, life to him adjusting, for he is my true guiding star." The birth of Jesus called people to alter their paths. Mary and Joseph's lives were forever changed. The shepherds risked the lives of their sheep that night to go and see what happened. The wise men started a journey to find out what was important, the importance of this star in the sky. And they don't arrive the night that Jesus is born because it takes them time to track him down. Wherever they were, whatever they were doing, the star in the sky was worth dropping it all to find out what God had done. John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin who is just a little bit older than him, but his whole life, even his conception, was ordained by God to go ahead of Jesus and make way for the kingdom of God. Jesus' birth was just the beginning, and it's already had such an impact. The birth of a child is a wondrous and miraculous thing. Whenever a baby is born, people can't wait to bring gifts to the child and help the parents make sure that they have everything they need. The birth of Christ was seemingly not that different, you know, except that they were traveling with a baby and they weren't at home and they had nowhere to stay and it wasn't friends and family bringing them gifts, it was shepherds and wise men, it was strangers sent by God to acknowledge the incarnated presence of God in the world. The song continues, "Bethlehem's child still calls us. He's longing for seekers to come, to offer themselves before him as treasures to God's only Son." When we give our offering each week, we seek to give our whole selves to God in union with Christ's offering for us. We want to offer ourselves as treasures to God's only Son. Before Jesus has done anything other than enter the world, people are drawn to him. The birth of this child, the birth of God's Son, brings hope and light into the world. We know the end of the story, but those who were drawn to the newborn Jesus didn't know the magnitude of his impact and how his life would change the world. He scared Herod and brought people from afar, but he was just a little baby, like any other little baby. There is a light that leads us. It reaches to right where we are. I cannot help but follow, for he is my guiding star. Jesus is now my true guiding star, ever guiding me from afar. In him I'm hiding, all to him confiding. There's nothing my way now to bar. And now, more than 2,000 years later, Jesus is the light of the world. His is the light that leads us. Jesus reaches right to where we are, whether it's an office or our sunroom, a couch all alone, or driving in our car, or walking in the woods, or on the beach, or anywhere else that you might find yourself. Whenever life is dark and lonely, we remember this night that we celebrate the birth of a Savior who entered into a world of darkness and brought light. We celebrate his birth because of the life he lived, because he was God with us, enfleshed, indwelling among us, and he showed us how to love one another. He brought peace and justice. He reached into the lives of people who were considered outcasts and unlovable, He shattered the status quo. We celebrate his birth because of the death he died, because he was God with us, and he died an unjust death. He was innocent. His only crime was to oppose those who they thought had it all figured out and challenge the way they taught people to approach God. We celebrate his birth because death could not hold him, because he was God with us and he rose from the grave. He gave us a message to share with the world. He came so that the world might know the height and depth and width and breadth of God's love. Bethlehem's child still calls us. He's longing for seekers to come, to offer themselves before him as treasures to God's only Son. It can be hard for us to see ourselves as treasures, but to God, that's exactly what we are. John tells us that the light shines in the darkness. Not that the darkness disappears and not that the light forces our hand. As a new year begins, each of us will make choices about what will guide us. Habit or hope, fear or trust, comfort or calling. The light of Christ does not promise ease, but it does promise truth. It shows us what needs to change. It leads where we might not choose to go on our own. To live in the light is not a one-time decision. It's a posture we return to again and again. Faith invites us to decide which direction we will face and which light we will trust to shape our steps. John Wesley believed that the Christian life is formed not by a single moment of devotion, but by a lifetime of grace-filled response. He knew that from time to time we need to stop, to take stock, and intentionally place our lives back in God's care. Not because God has let us go, but because we forget what it means to belong. This is why Wesley offered a covenant prayer, not a test of faith, but an act of trust, a prayer that helps us say honestly and humbly, I am willing to be guided, not because we know where the road will lead, but because we trust the one who walks with us. The light is already shining. The question is whether we will follow. So today, as we begin this new year, we renew our covenant, not to prove to ourselves, but to reorient our lives toward the grace that has already found us. Before we enter into a time of prayer and covenant renewal, I want to take a moment to talk a little bit about yesterday. Yesterday, we offered a recentering day, a time to come together as a small group, and in the morning, we prayed about what our year had been like in the past year, how 2025 had been a year of challenge, a year of joy, a year of new things, and what we wanted to keep from that year and what we wanted to let go. And then in the afternoon, we prayed about what God was asking us to step into, how the fruits of the Spirit could become new in our lives, how we could seek God more and more. And at the end of the day, we gathered around this table and we shared in communion. And we put butterflies on the cross because butterflies are a sign of new creation. And so while it is frosty cold outside and we haven't seen a butterfly in months, we have a few here today to show us that there is a new life and a new creation coming even while the frost is still on the ground, because we need that hope and that light and the warmth that comes with new life and butterflies. And so if you were wondering why they're there, that's why, because seven of us experienced a moment of new life yesterday. And so We invite you now to consider new life. Friends, as we begin a new year, we remember that our life, our faith, is not something we live alone. God calls us into covenant to love God and to serve our neighbors and to offer ourselves for the work Christ sets before us. And so I'm inviting you to join in a prayer that John Wesley prayed, a prayer of covenant. This version is adapted by another United Methodist pastor so that the language sounds a little more like us and a little less like 17th century John Wesley. So together, let us renew our covenant with God and with one another. Do we have the all slide? Thank you. I am not my own self-made, self-reliant human being. In truth, O God, I am yours. Make me into what you will. Make me a neighbor with those whom you will. Guide me on the easy path for you. Guide me on the rocky road for you. Whether I am to step up for you or step aside for you, whether I am to be lifted high for you or brought low for you, whether I become full or empty, with all things or with nothing, I give all that I have and all that I am for you. So be it. And may I always remember that you, O God, and I belong to each other. Amen. The band will come forward and we will continue in worship. I'll pray as they do that. Loving God, we thank you for your Son, for the light that guides each of us, and for the covenant that we make to follow you, that we might be more like you, and that we might show others the way. God, help us to be that which we will receive. Help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen.